Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Problem with this because I don't think it's a necessary ordinance. It's kind of like the way we put things in the Constitution I don't agree with. I don't think we necessarily need this.
How does a community resolve the issue if we have no law which to enforce? Okay, so everybody who sues us will say, well, we're sorry, but we can't do anything about it because we don't have any law in our books that allows us to prohibit camping on public property. I mean, we need this. Unfortunately, this is where we find ourselves. We have to have some way of enforcing the prohibition on camping on public property. And that's what this ordinance is designed to do. So that we absolutely need it. I totally disagree with Councilman Baer. And it is what it is based on state law.
Allison Patton there, as she said, disagreeing with City Council Member Charles Baer on whether they need to put in what I'm calling Camping Ban B. City Council meeting last Thursday took up two camping ban targets. The second one. The second one was to take the House Bill 1365, which is the state law that bans camping on public property, and then gives a cause of action. That means you could sue the city if they don't remove people starting January 1st. The law went into effect October 1st, and the cause of action lawsuit, if they don't remove homeless people, for example, or anybody really, from camping on rights of way and parks and things like that, starts on January 1st. And what they were doing with this was creating a local ordinance that gives particularly PPD or code enforcement the ability to say you can't be here, because if we don't do that, the argument goes, then we're going to get sued and we're going to lose because we haven't taken, you know, action towards this. And as DC reads, that's not really an option. Also, one of the notes that came up in this conversation was it's easy to think of homelessness or of vagrancy or of overnight camping or however you want, panhandling. There's all different dimensions of this problem, and all of these terms mean slightly different things, of course. It's easy to think of this as a uniquely Pensacola problem. Now, I will say I have seen it more in some places and less in other places, and I wish I knew what the people in the less in those places were doing. But, you know, Mayor D.C. Reeves says that when he talks to the mayors in D.C. or anywhere at the, you know, U.S. Council of Mayors, like, nobody has solved this problem.
Our city has invested millions of dollars individually, and we have dozens of amazing nonprofits that do a lot of great work. And it's easy to drag this issue because I just was with 350 mayors this summer and another 50 or 60 in leadership 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Zero of them have solved this issue. Zero. So you can talk about what we should or shouldn't do. No one has solved this issue because it's a very, very difficult issue to solve or to ever declare victory in.
Yeah, no, that's another thing, is how do you know when you've done it? And this is why I have said for quite some time that we really ought to have a dashboard for the county. And I know it was like kind of supposed to happen, and it just kind of never did really happen the way it should. It would be nice to have something you can look at and see, okay, this is what we think the unhoused, whatever, however you want to describe the population, okay? Homeless is a standard. It's kind of a neutral term, but whatever, okay? People living without shelter. I would like to have a number for adults. I'd like to have a number for kids. And the point in time count that the, you know, continuum of care does every year, that's gives us roughly that. But not just that number. What I'd like to see is, okay, here's where we have people and in what stage of help are they at, you know? And then how many people have been moved into permanent housing? How many people have been, you know, do have jobs or don't have jobs? I feel like we have no way to assess whether we're winning, losing, doing better, doing worse. It just kind of seems like, well, every once in a while we find a camp and like the Beggs Lane encampment, you know, there's a lot of people there. There's a lot of bad things happening. Okay, are we winning or not? Are we doing better or not? How can we know? Just it's kind of, you know, where do you point the camera at on any given day to figure out whether we should feel good or bad about what our community is doing? We all know that we have far too many homeless people. Some of them do not want help. Some of them are dangerous. Some of them absolutely want help. Some of them are completely the sweetest people you'll ever meet. Some of them had homes until a month ago. Some of them have been homeless for 10 years. I mean, there's, you know, some use drugs, some do not. It's just, there's so much variety and difference within this broad category of people who are living without shelter. And, you know, as the mayor is right, we have spent loads and loads and loads of money on this, and with some success and not some success. And we have a lot, you know, I personally, with our money that we give every month, we support local charities that help the homeless, you know, like Waterfront is one that we support, and Loaves and Fishes and Manna, because we believe that that's, you know, gospel work. So that's where, you know, our charity donations go, because we believe in these organizations. We believe in what they do. But as a community, it's very hard to get a grasp on whether we're doing well unless we have some kind of real data to look at. Now, the basic problem is lack of total beds and lack of beds that are available to people who either don't have any money, or, you know, they drink or they smoke or they have a pet or they have a kid. You know, child and family ones are very, like, that's its own special problem. Kudos to, you know, Waterfront recently opening up, you know, the women's shelter, and, you know, kids. And I mean, you know, but it's still, it's, that's a limit, okay, is how much stuff is available. And I really appreciate Jen Brayer and what she said about this. We'll get to that in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are both flowing smoothly, not seeing any delays. Good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah, John, thanks so much for the update. Jen Brayer, City Councilwoman Jen Brayer, I appreciate that she said this, because we have been talking about a low barrier shelter. That's a shelter that, you know, it's easy to get into, that you don't get turned away from. Okay, that's the idea. Low barrier is easy access, as opposed to higher barrier. You know, it might take money, and you have to not be drunk. You have to, you know, participate in a program. I mean, there's, okay, various forms of barrier, okay? And, you know, the idea that's been talked about quite a bit is the idea of having a shelter that's going to take care of people where anybody can show up and be taken care of, right?
I am committed, absolutely committed, to a low barrier shelter, and I'll do it if I have to be the one to ultimately bring it to you. I will figure this out for our community. We need it.
Yeah, right. And, you know, as much as we've talked about it, you know, we're not there. But Mayor Reeves brings up a good point about that. Whenever he talks about it, he says, look, it's going to be a couple million dollars if we want to build something. Maybe we find something to convert that might be cheaper, but you always got to talk about operational cost. Right, you know, operational costs is a thing that's been killing us, is maintenance and upkeep on all the things that we have. And, you know, if the money is there to build a thing but not there to maintain and operate the thing, well, you're taking on a liability. Maybe it's a liability worth taking on for the service to these citizens, because they're citizens, okay? They are members of the community. And, you know, even if they're not citizens, they're still members of the community, right? They're human beings, and, you know, so we have certain obligations as a society. But also, you know, we have problems that come from having unhoused people, and we want to cut down on those problems. Okay, so the camping ban B, is the one that would institute the statewide ordinance locally. That was passed 6-1, Charles Baer objecting to it because he doesn't think we need it. He thinks that the state law is enough, and if the state law is not enough, they can't make us pass a local ordinance. You know, that's weird. How can we get sued for failure to pass a local ordinance? Like, that's a bizarre position. And so I think he's got some valid concerns, but I do think that's most likely that whatever outcome is, that that state law is going to get upheld and the local ordinance does allow us to enforce it. So there's questions about that, but that's not the focus. The ban A was the one that we talked quite a bit about. That goes way beyond House Bill 1365. This bans camping on, for example, any commercial property, with or without the permission. So, you know, like in the parking lot of the business, they cannot allow you to camp there. But also on residential property, unless you have the permission of the homeowner. And one of the questions that was raised about that, a good question, is it seems to actually allow more camping. And if we're forcing people out of the public areas like parks and overpasses, then where are they going to go? Well, maybe people just open up their backyards in your subdivision and people are camping in the backyard. That doesn't seem like a great solution. So, you know, if I remember correctly, and I apologize, I can't tell you better, but I believe they amended that to require them to have access inside the home. That was Jen Bear made that recommendation. They still passed it only on a 5-2 vote, but that's the one that goes way beyond. That bans the public camping, the camping on commercial property and on private property as well. And there's a lot of questions about that, including, you know, what's the nature of private property and should you be allowed to let people camp on your private property? You know, though I frequently disagree with him almost about everything, Larry Downs Jr., I thought, was raising a valid question when he asked.
This is private property. What, are y'all going to get a warrant? You going to come onto people's private property and violate their Fourth Amendment right? You know, I mean, that property line, that's it. You can't cross it. I mean, really. I mean, at what point do y'all think this freedom, if y'all pass this, there ain't none. There ain't none.
I mean, if you have a privacy fence around your house and in the backyard, you've got 40 homeless people living in tents by your permission, should the city have the ability to tell you you can't do that? I mean, I'm asking. I think it's a marginal question because, on the one hand, we do have all kinds of regulations about what you can and can't do related to livestock and, you know, nuisances that affect other people. On the other hand, you know, there's always a question about whether the government has the right to come and tell you what you can't do on your private property, which they do in a lot of ways. But still, if it's, you know, the old argument is it's not hurting anybody. If they don't actually hurt anybody else, what's the problem? And again, though I disagree with Larry a lot of times, and I thought he actually raised at least questions worth hearing about this law.
Let's just say we really don't want these undesirables, right? I mean, that's really what all of these panhandling laws are, right? I mean, just say it like that. That would be the best way to do it. Just be real. Just say, look, we don't want to look at you. We don't want you to be free to hold up a sign that says I need help. That's the worst part of freedom, isn't it? It's that the freedom that ain't neat and tidy. It's not all clean. It's just a little dangerous, a little dirty. That's the way I prefer my freedom. Dangerous and dirty. Not all tidy like this homeowners association here.
There's truth in that, right? Freedom is messy. Freedom is often ugly. In fact, you know freedom exists because there are problems, because problems are the byproduct of people misusing their freedom or using it in a way you don't like, which is not necessarily misusing, right? But either way, if you have a society with no problems, that only means you have perfect people, doesn't exist, or you have low freedom. You know, actually, that's one of the reasons this is kind of a longer topic that, you know, I used to teach ethics and politics and logic. And sometimes I get irritated at the radio format that doesn't allow me to really explain a topic at enough length for it to really sink in. But here's the short version. OK, don't be angry that there are problems in society. Celebrate that there are problems in society because problems are actually evidence of freedom. People, flawed, are going to misuse freedom when you give it to them. So don't, I mean, it doesn't mean we shouldn't try to fix the problems. It doesn't mean we shouldn't try to teach people to be better, to behave better, to be more productive, to be more virtuous, both of which can reduce the problems. But you're never going to get rid of all the problems unless you get rid of all the people. And so he's right. A little messy, a little dangerous, a little dirty. That's what freedom looks like. And every time you try to solve a problem by raising the level of government, you're eliminating the underlying freedom that makes the problem and also the non-problem possible, and you're narrowing the circle around the human being instead of trying to grow the human being to handle the circle of freedom better. Now, I know that's like a 45-second explanation of what's usually about a 20-minute lecture, but there you go, okay? Our goal as parents is to give kids enough freedom and education that they learn to use it wisely so when they're adults, they can handle adult levels of freedom in an open society like ours. And, you know, taking away their freedom the first time they mess up means you're dumb. You teach them through those problems because, you know, just because they mess up doesn't mean they got too much freedom. It means that they're messed up. That happens when you give people new powers, right? 623 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hello, my name is Ed Carson. Santa Rosa County is one of the fastest growing counties in the nation, and it's not slowing down. Our parks, roads, bridges, and other community amenities have to keep up. I'm urging you to vote yes for the penny sales tax to replace the current half cent tax. This will fund essential community improvements, enhance our quality of life, better protect our families, and improve public works. Please go to SantaRosaYes.com for more information.
Political advertisement paid for by Building Santa Rosa Tomorrow Today.
For some of us, it's way more than just hunting. Hunting is one of the best things in life, and Jim's Firearms is proud to be a part of it. Let the team at Jim's Firearms help you prepare for a successful hunting season. With a large selection of shotguns and rifles, you're sure to find one to meet your shooting needs. Jim's Firearms, West Pensacola, corner of Blue Angel and Sorrento Road.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates the recent winners and finalists in the 2024 Pensacola News Journal Community Choice Awards.
Here is one of the recent winners who can say they are the best of the Bay.
Smart Smiles Orthodontics wants to thank you for voting Dr. Edward Witcher Pensacola's best orthodontist. Dr. Witcher is transforming smiles, hearts, and confidence in people every day. It's time to live your best life. Visit SmartSmilesOrthodontics.com to schedule your complimentary consultation today.
Congratulations to all the best of the Bay winners.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I don't understand. He say you're not allowed to smash piñatas that look like real people. But we do it in Mexico all the time.
Up with it, girl. Rock with it, girl. Show them it, girl. Bada bang bang.
I love Pedro as a character. 627 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Somebody texts in and says, Larry Downs Jr. is our Pensacola John Dutton. That's the Yellowstone character, right? That's, I think so. Somebody else says, I want a t-shirt that says, I like my freedom dirty and dangerous. I like that.
I'd wear that one.
And somebody else says, Andrew, your complaint about radio format, get a podcast. Yeah. Okay. More work. Thanks. no, but you're, I mean, yes, you don't have the same kind of time. Oh, and John, thank you for asking me off the air. I didn't end the explanation. They passed both of these ordinances, both the ban A and the ban B. Ban A is definitely going to get litigated. I mean, no doubt in my mind that'll get litigated. Ban B may or may not. We'll see, because that's the statewide implementation one. But we'll come back to this again throughout the day, because I think this is an important topic. Oh, also, did I mention that the county is proposing a ban B also? On tomorrow morning's agenda is the county counterpart to the city ban on public camping that institutes ordinances to enforce the state ban. So the county is doing the same thing that the city is doing tomorrow morning, which means that, you know, if you take them out of the city, they're not going to be able to go to the county anymore. You're going to have to take them to the state line, I guess. I don't know. Where they go is going to be the problem, right? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Georgia has set a new record for early voting. The chief deputy of Georgia's Secretary of State says more than 300,000 people cast their ballots on the first day of early voting Tuesday. That announcement coming as former President Trump spoke to a packed house in Atlanta yesterday, and Vice President Kamala Harris sits down today for a Fox News interview. The USDA's inspector general is planning an internal investigation into the agency's response to a listeria outbreak. This was the one at the Boar's Head plant in Virginia. Production was shut down there after 10 people died after eating products made at the plant. And Walgreens announcing they're going to be closing 1,200 stores across the country by 2027. They announced that move yesterday after reporting a fourth quarter result that beat Wall Street expectations.
And dirt cheap, right? You said it's closing.
Yes, dirt cheap has also filed for bankruptcy.
And they're closing both stores here, right?
Yeah, all of their stores,
all
as far
stores.
As I know, yes.
Okay.
I believe they
and
had
And then
68.
That Where You Been place, that went away maybe a month or two ago. That was kind of an interesting place. The Amazon
right?
outlet discount place, that was kind of a weird experience to go there. We went there a few times before they closed. It was kind of a neat place. I'm kind of sad they're gone. But
kind of a tricky time for brick-and-mortar retail.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely for sure. I have tickets. I have tickets to give away for Celtic Thunder. Odyssey is the name of the particular production. This is going to be Wednesday, October 23rd, so a week from today. The Irish Singing and Stage Group, it's going to be fantastic. I got two tickets to give away at the Sanger Theater next Wednesday for Celtic Thunder. Be caller number 2, 437-1620, 437-1620. My review of Amendment 3 coming up next.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. Former President Donald Trump rallied in Atlanta last night.
Everywhere you look, under Kamala Harris, the American standard of living is in a free fall.
Georgia is considered a toss-up in the Fox Power rankings. Early voting began there yesterday.
Georgia has more than doubled its first-day early voting record. The Secretary of State's office says it has accepted more than 305,000 ballots.
That's Fox's Rich Edson. The power rankings also show Michigan is now in the toss-up territory. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Detroit for an interview with The Breakfast Club on iHeartRadio.
This is a margin of error race. It's tight. I'm going to win.
Harris is going to sit down for an interview with Fox's Brett Baer tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. Trump joined Harris Faulkner for a Fox News town hall that airs this morning. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. 54 degrees right now. We've got clear skies and a beautiful morning here in Pensacola. Well, Pensacola police have made an arrest in a church burglary case. They say more charges could be pending as well. 20-year-old Jeremy Lang was arrested Monday. Police say that they found Lang walking near the location of a previously reported church burglary. Officers say he matched the description of a suspect that they had been looking for. Lang is charged with one of seven reported church burglaries. PPD says charges are pending in some of the other cases as well. He's currently being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. Learning more about the investigation into that shooting at a park near North W Street last Sunday.
Yeah, it looks now like there was a... two cars involved. One car had been reported to be downtown at a bar, and then they moved to, I think it's Chaser's Lounge up in that area. And when they left that parking lot about a block or so away, another car pulled up to them and just started shooting.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, there were two victims. One died. One is still in the hospital. And he says they do have some information about potential suspects, but they're asking anybody with additional information in that case to contact them or to call Crime Stoppers. The Small Business Administration says they are out of money for their disaster loan program after Hurricanes Helene and then Milton just weeks later.
The Small Business Administration provides low-interest loans to not just businesses, but also to homeowners and renters. But as of Tuesday, it said it was hitting pause on those loans after running out of cash, something that it had been warning about for weeks.
That's Tony Waterman. President Biden and other Democrats have called on House Speaker Mike Johnson to call Congress back into session. Johnson said it can wait until after the election. In the meantime, the agency telling people to continue to apply for assistance so they'll be positioned once more money is made available. Estimated insured losses from Hurricane Milton are now approaching $2 billion. The Florida Office of Insurance Regulation said yesterday that estimate's up to just under $1.9 billion right now. About 150,000 claims had been filed as of yesterday. Over 2,000 of those claims have been closed with payments made. 6,000 have been closed without payments made. And More customers now have their power back in Central Florida. Crews continuing to restore electricity yesterday. As of this morning, PowerOutage.us says there is less than 75,000 people or households in Florida still waiting for their power to be restored. Most of those outages are in Hillsborough County, which has about 40,000 still to restore. Governor DeSantis says about 4 million people so far have had their power turned back on. It is 6:35, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. John Pickens, what are you seeing out on the roads this morning, sir?
Well, good news. We're not seeing any accidents or even backups. I-10, I-110 are flowing very smoothly right now. Even Highway 90 going from Pace to Pensacola or Pensacola to Pace is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather.
Breezy day today with temperatures warming up near 68 degrees for your high, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. As you go into Thursday, high near 70 degrees with sunny skies. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 57. Going to be keeping the sunny weather around for Friday with a high near 73 and a low near 63. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 55 degrees across the area. Nice clear skies this morning. And your next news at 7, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Dozens of people have rallied outside the Michigan headquarters of Kellogg, demanding the company remove artificial dyes from its breakfast cereals in the U.S. The maker of Fruit Loops and Apple Jacks originally announced it would remove artificial ingredients from its products by 2018. The company has done so in other countries, but not in the U.S. Yosemite National Park has announced that visitors will be able to drive through the California park without a reservation for the rest of the year. Visitors must still pay a $35 entrance fee. Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba's international arm launched an updated version of its artificial intelligence power translation tool that it says is better than products offered by Google, ChatGPT, and more. The product supports 15 languages, which include Arabic, Chinese, English, and more. Futures are slightly higher this morning. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials lost 324. That's your money now.
Did you know Pensacola's hidden gem is powering the future? The Port of Pensacola isn't just a name. It's an economic engine driving our region's success. Home to over 20 powerhouse companies like Cemex Materials, General Electric, Verona Wind Energy, and the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. This port is fueling growth and prosperity every day. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the backbone of Northwest Florida's economy. Discover how it's shaping our future at portofpensacola.com.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegyl is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit izervay.com. That's I-Z-E-R-V-A-Y.com.
DeFranco Gas is your local expert in all things gas. Local Tom DeFranco and Company has been installing and servicing your gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years and is here to help make your gas life easier. Tankless water heaters, gas grills, gas fireplaces, gas heating systems, and DeFranco Gas gets your home and business storm ready with installation and servicing of whole generator systems. All things gas. DeFranco Gas, your local gas service provider. Member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFrancoGas.com.
Florida Senate candidate Don Gates will fight for us.
Because Florida is a free state and Florida is a low tax state. But for many people, Florida is also becoming an unaffordable state. In many markets, availability of housing has declined while housing costs have increased a lot. The price of energy at the gas pump and the electric meter, it's a hardship for many families. And property insurance, if you can get it, is doubling, even tripling, even when homeowners and business owners don't have recent claims or any claims at all. I'm running for the Florida Senate because I'm ready to tackle those tough issues for senior citizens, for small businesses, and for the folks who work every day to make our state exceptional. I'll fight for a free Florida and a low tax Florida and an affordable Florida.
Paid by Don Gates, Republican for State Senate.
When hurricanes are brewing and heading to the Gulf, tune in to News Radio Pensacola for complete storm coverage you can count on. We have direct reports from the Emergency Management Center and from the National Hurricane Center to give you the latest on the storm's path, strength, and impacts. Stay informed and stay safe with comprehensive hurricane coverage heard on News Radio Pensacola. Now on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, and on our News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
I told you I was going to play the bumper. You didn't believe me that I had a good one for you, did you?
No, I didn't, but you did.
That is a super catchy Mick Jagger song from 2001. Yeah, we're talking about Amendment 3. All right. Look, if you can't have a little bit of fun talking about, you know, gateway drugs, what can you have fun talking about, right? Okay, so Amendment 3, in case you do not know, in case you have been living off the grid, I guess, in Florida for a long time, Amendment 3 would legalize personal consumption amounts of marijuana, right? 3 ounces, which I know for people who don't use drugs, myself would fall in that category. I was actually, you'll laugh at me. I was looking up online, how much is an ounce? And then we're like, well, that could be misunderstood. Like, not price, but quantity. Like, how much is it? And so I'm going to give you my, you know, like a small coconut is like an ounce, something in that vicinity. I get varying descriptions, but 3 ounces is a lot, okay? You can get like 50 or 60 marijuana cigarettes, children, joints out of an ounce, okay? So it's a lot, right? That's, you know, 150 to 200 joints out of 3 ounces. That's your personal consumption amounts. That's what it would legalize. The premise behind not legalizing greater amounts is because you don't want drug dealers, right? You don't want people with a lot because you want to sell it through stores, right? You want to use the existing medical marijuana dispensaries, existing medical marijuana treatment centers, excuse me, that's the official name, would be authorized under the initiative to sell marijuana to adults for personal use 21 and up. Florida state legislature could still provide by state law for the licensure of entities other than existing medical marijuana treatment centers to cultivate and sell marijuana products. Could provide for, but this would not allow you on its face to grow it, to cultivate it, to sell it. Doesn't put everybody in the drug business. What it does is allow existing to sell to adults. Okay. And it's, you know, some of these details really do matter in the conversation. Alex Andrade was with Channel 3. I think this is Sunday night. I think they ran this piece.
What this amendment does is simply say those medical marijuana dispensaries that already exist can also sell to adults without a medical marijuana card or license.
Yeah, and and there's a lot of conversation about what it would allow, what are the advantages, disadvantages of the law. Okay, here's the short version. Democrats are largely for it, although not exclusively Democrats, are largely for it because they think that punishing people for marijuana is no good, or they think that marijuana itself is actually good, right? Kind of the pro-marijuana or the pro-choice position, if you want to think about those terms, right? So Nikki Fried, who was in town last week, maybe over the weekend, you know, head of the Democratic Party in Florida and one-time candidate for governor, although she got beat by Charlie Crist, she still showed up in town with the can I say this as a side note? Did you see the footage of this Democratic rally, sort of? Lumen May was at this rally, and they had the, like, Kamala Harris poster standee behind them that fell over in the wind. It just struck me funny that they would, you know, carry with them. I mean, do you have to buy your own? Does every Democrat buy their own? You know, is would you consider putting up a, and it was so obviously like a bad picture of her that it showed up clearly. It wouldn't even look like her in the photos. Would you call that Democratic propaganda? I don't know. It just, these are the jokes that occur to me when I'm watching the news and I'm thinking out loud to myself. Anyway, 437-1620. It made me laugh. Like people carrying around the Kamala Harris cardboard standee. We're with her. She's not here, but we're with her. Where is she? Not here. Anyway, sorry for the digression. Back to the issue. She says, look, it's good to get people off of opioids, which marijuana, they claim, is a substitute or a different kind of medical therapy for people who suffer all kinds of things, right?
Legalize cannabis. And it is time to finally stop arresting people for simple possession charges. It's an opportunity to have more economic opportunities in our state, to bring people into the cannabis world, to have more production, and to make sure that we're getting people off of opioids.
Into the cannabis world is, okay, so, you know, a couple of different arguments there. One is that marijuana is actually good for people. Another is that even if you don't like marijuana, arresting people for it is a waste of, you know, state, city, municipal, county resources, both the law enforcement and the jailing and the cost of jailing. And historically, there have been a lot of arguments about disproportionate punishment against the black community, particularly for marijuana. You know, lots of people get marijuana arrests on their record, and then that gives them a hard time finding jobs, contributing to three strike situations. Like, there's a whole conversation, including a very common argument of people saying that, look, marijuana is not as bad for you as alcohol. Alcohol is legal, therefore marijuana should be legal. These are just sort of generally some of the arguments, okay? We'll come back with the con arguments here in just a second. John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good, but you're going to see a minor delay if you're headed from downtown Milton into East Milton near the industrial part, so just be aware of that. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you need any kind of a hardware supplies, you're building something, you're fixing something, you're rebuilding something, you're doing an expansion, or you build things for a living, I don't know, everybody's in a different place. Pensacola Hardware has all the stuff you need, and not just the stuff, because they do. They have the stuff you need, but they also have the advice. And I don't know about you, but for me, I'm not an expert in fixing things. I'm really not. And so when I go to a store, one of the things that I find frustrating is, like, I'm so much not an expert that I assume the person working at the hardware store is going to know more than me. And I have found in the past that is often not the case. And I think, what are you doing here? You know, I want advice. And, you know, they don't know. They say, hey, well, let's go find this person. Okay. When you go to Pensacola Hardware, they know. They know. They've been doing this forever. It's in their blood. They've been, you know, this business has been around for 173 years, so they know. Okay, they've solved these problems before. They can give you the advice. And that, to me, is what makes them valuable, in addition to the fact that they have the stuff. Now, if you build things for a living, oh, man, should be your bread and butter. If you don't use Pensacola Hardware, they can ship to your job site, put you on a monthly bill. You know, they have it. They won't have to make you wait for the thing that you need because they have it in stock, all that stuff. Find out what they can do for you. Also, there's a great houseware section in the front of the store. Like, really, like, you don't think it would be. Because I know when I first heard, oh, go see the hardware, the houseware section in the front. Oh, sure, sure. Oh, you know, wow, it really is pretty amazing. So right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street, Pensacola Hardware, the oldest business in the entire state of Florida, helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851. Okay, back to this question about Amendment 3, adult personal use of marijuana. I kind of gave you most of the pro arguments. You know, it's no worse than alcohol. It might be better than alcohol. States that have done it, and about half the states have done it, either through amendment or through legislative action. It's 24 so far, including Washington, D.C. So lots of states have done it. Some states went farther, like Oregon, decriminalized all drugs, and then they reversed that position, by the way. So that some of the arguments in favor of decriminalization of personal consumption amounts of marijuana, as is on the ballot Amendment 3. Arguments against, again, kind of classic arguments. For example, the alcohol comparison. Even if marijuana is not as bad as alcohol, sometimes grant your premise and then see where you go. That doesn't mean we should legalize it. You might, and I would make the argument that, yeah, alcohol is bad and carries lots of consequences. And that doesn't mean that we should have another alcohol out there that's legal. That's why does that make sense? Now, you can argue that if for the one, for the other, I get that. But just because you allow the one doesn't mean you should allow the other. If we can recognize the one is bad, then we should prohibit the expansion of the bad things. There's also arguments about gateway, right? If you try this drug, you might be inclined to try other drugs. There's a response to that having to do with, because right now it's illegal, although, of course, you can get it with a medical card or prescription. Because it's illegal, the argument goes that gets you into the criminal element. And if you made it legal, you'd be buying it from your medical dispensary legally, and then you wouldn't need to go to the drug dealer. And so that would actually create a barrier between progression in the drug culture. It's difficult arguments to figure out who's got the right of it, okay? But it is more complicated than just how the one or the other would say. Yeah, it would save on resources for enforcement, but then again, if you have decreased productivity, which is common, or you have impact on health, which is an effect, and you have addiction, and you do have progression for some people, and if you have drink driving, you have high driving, and that's also a problem. And, you know, the nuisance value of it, not wanting to be around it if it's, for example, in the public. Now, I think you can make the case, rightly so, that public smoking is really discouraged right now. Like, you can't go to a restaurant and smell cigarettes. You won't be going to the restaurant and smelling marijuana cigarettes either. So how much it would be in the public. Plus, kids is another argument against it. Kids are going to have more access to it, just like they have easier access to alcohol. They will have easier access to marijuana. Response to that would be, well, they have pretty easy access to it now. How well is the war on drugs really working to keep either alcohol or marijuana out of the hands of kids? If it sounds like I've had these arguments before, I have. And I could give you a whole chart of what we used to call it in debate, flowing the argument. Here's the claim. Here's the counterclaim. Here's the best evidence. A lot of these things are hard to figure out. Okay. Here's my answer on this one. First of all, I don't want to expand access to marijuana. I care too much about my kids. Now, if that seems blunt, sorry. come on. If you can't make dope jokes talking about dope, you know, come on. You know, you got to have some fun.
Puff give. Puff give.
You know, you're messing up my rotation. Okay. So I don't want my kids growing up in a world where there's weed everywhere. I don't. So I'm voting because I love my kids. But let's say that doesn't persuade you. Let's say that the public safety, the addiction, the healthcare costs, the more high people is in a better world, okay? Let's say none of that persuades you. That's fine. You know, we can disagree. You're more of a libertarian. You're worried about the disparate impact. You're worried about the racism. You're worried about the cost of enforcement and all. Okay. So you think marijuana is good. Or maybe it's okay, but it's not worth enforcing. Or you think it's a personal choice and we shouldn't be telling people how to live. Whatever puts you on the side of being pro-marijuana, as far as you wish it were legal for personal consumption use, still a bad idea to put in the Constitution. Okay? This is one of those classic examples of a problem that should not be solved with a constitutional amendment. This should be a law. The legislature should take this up. Well, they're not. Elect different people. Lobby them more effectively. This is something. Look, my dad lives in Denver. I was talking to him yesterday, and he made the comment. He's like, oh, my God, Andrew, you have no idea how many problems were created by the fact that we did this through the Constitution and can't change it now. We're stuck with it as is. Even if the thing's good, you can't tinker with it because you can't tinker with constitutional amendments like you could with legislation. You tweak them later, right? You make them better later on. And so this is a classic example of an amendment that you should vote no on because it shouldn't be a constitutional amendment. It should be a legislative thing. And it falls within that scope of how sure are you that this is the exact right way to solve it? Nowhere near close to being sure about that, so vote no on principle. I say you should never vote yes on an amendment unless you're at least 75% sure that it's a good one. At least 75% sure. And I am nowhere close to 75% sure, even if I thought that having marijuana more readily available for private consumption purposes was a good thing. So, yeah, in Andrew's opinion, it's bad anyway. It's bad law. It's definitely bad constitutional amendment making. And I just don't want this world.
I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got to do.
I don't want Chris Tucker's world. 6:53 on News Radio 92.3 and forward. Too blunt? Okay. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru. The men and women here at Anderson Subaru are committed to the Subaru Love Promise, a promise between us and our communities, a promise to make the Gulf Coast a better place to live, to work, and to play. And we're proud of what we've accomplished. From our ongoing support of the Pensacola Breast Cancer Association and Ascension Sacred Heart to volunteering with Feeding the Gulf Coast, we've conducted clothing drives for Loaves and Fishes and charity auctions for Gulf Coast Kids House, and we support Sherwood Elementary School in multiple ways. We're committed to the pets in our communities, too, by supporting dog adoption events with Phoenix Rising Rescue, Barktoberfest with Pensacola Humane Society, and Potty Gras with Wolfgang Park and Brews. And the love continues. Through donations, volunteering, and monetary support, Anderson Subaru is making a difference in the lives of our neighbors and our community. The Subaru Love Promise. That's a promise we intend to keep at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Experience the captivating musical journey with Celtic Thunder in their brand new show, Odyssey. Join Damian McGinty, Emma Cahill, Neil Byrne, and Ronan Scollard as they explore a fusion of traditional and contemporary Celtic music, a mix of great new songs and beloved fan favorites. In Odyssey, Celtic Thunder continues their musical evolution.
Get your tickets now for Celtic Thunder at the Sanger Theatre on October 23rd.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Hi, I am Jennifer Brer, your councilwoman for the City of Pensacola, District 1. It has been my honor to uphold my campaign promise to listen, respond, and represent our concerns at City Hall. I am a fierce advocate for our community and being fiscally responsible with taxpayer money, and it is always taxpayer money. Please re-elect me on November 5th and let your voice continue to be heard. Paid for by re-elect Jennifer Brer, City of Pensacola, District 1.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic updates, but don't always have time to listen to the radio? Well, now you can get text alerts from the News Radio Pensacola app.
Oh, gnarly!
.656 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody had asked, am I going to talk about Amendment 4, the abortion amendment? My goal is to talk about it today at 8:10. If I don't get it in today, it'll be tomorrow at 6:35 is my plan. Yes, I'm trying to do all the amendments this week before early voting starts on Monday. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Still no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 flowing very smoothly. Not seeing any delays to let you know about. Good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about buying or selling a house, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they'll take care of you because you need a good realtor to help make sure that you get the right deal all the way through to closing. You know, a lot of times, you know, deals kind of don't get all the way there. Well, experience matters in these things because they can overcome the hurdles, the road bumps, help you navigate them by avoiding them in advance and just do whatever it takes. Because I know Christina has a do whatever it takes mindset about getting you to the end. Also, and I just recently, this has become very vivid to me, is the way insurance has been changing in Florida, it affects your ability to sell your house because you just can't get insurance for a house with a roof that's too old. You might get dropped from your insurance for having a water heater that's too old. And so when somebody offers to buy your house, you know, they might say, hey, I'm going to give you this much and you got to replace the AC. You're like, what? It works. And they're like, yeah, but it's too old. Can't get insurance. And so you need a real estate agent to guide you in knowing whether that is a fair request or not. And then you can either share the cost or pay for it or whatever. And so all of those things come from experience. They sold 175 homes last year, 130 so far this year. And so you get that kind of repeat example experience from Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, pilots for Frontier Airlines have now voted in favor of going on strike if they don't get a favorable contract from the company. The union representing the pilots said yesterday that 97% of its membership took part in the strike authorization vote. 99% voted to authorize the strike. And Universal Orlando's newest attraction is opening in just a few months now. The Wall Street Journal reported yesterday that Epic Universe at Universal Orlando is going to be opening in May. Universal hasn't confirmed it, though. Epic Universe was announced 5 years ago. It includes five worlds: Super Nintendo World, How to Train Your Dragon, The Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and a couple other. It's at Universal's fourth theme park in Orlando.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Oh, I got a couple of good texts in here. Somebody says, if you want to compare weed to beer, street weed is like beer. Prescription weed is like drinking hard liquor. Somebody says, good talk on Amendment 3. Thank you. Somebody says, thank you for being so blunt in your assessment. No worries. No, you know, whenever it comes down to these kind of complicated questions, I always like to spliff the difference. Oh, no, wait. Give me 2 seconds. I've got it.
Listen on air 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.